It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Everyone, you are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than finding out the room you plan to use as a nursery in that new home you bought used to be a sacrificial altar. Yes, we are better than that. You can join the chat room, Denpen. Go to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. You can also watch us live on the Davin's Den Facebook page. Although, to be honest, I do not know how much we'll be able to participate in the chat, which I'll explain to you momentarily. Why? Audio better on davincomedy.com. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am the only one who is fully here right now. We have a working hurt because it's Tuesday night. Pip Helix, hi. Say hi, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
So Pip's deal is she wants to be the first person in history to not make full use of her COVID antibodies. That's the deal with Pip. Pip just had COVID a couple of months ago, so she should not be susceptible again to COVID. But she is under the weather, so she is going to take a COVID test on the air. I don't know how long we're going to have Pip tonight, to be completely honest with you. It's sad. It's nice to have her for this little part. But Pip has said she hasn't been able to pull out through before, and she has made do before. So we'll see how she is. But she does not have a fever. She has a sore throat, and she has sinus issues. So that's the deal with Pip. Joe,
yeah.
Joe is will be on momentarily. So if we have Pip there for the whole show, which you never know with Pip, sometimes she gets those magical healing powers, and we don't need Pip to talk all that much, although it's always better when she does. If we have Pip for the whole show, then we'll do some scamming scammers. If not, I got a couple of extra stories, which I was going to do next week. But they will be fun, and Joe and I will cover it on the show. Speaking of stories, I guess I should tell you guys what's going on. There's Pip in the woods, probably trying to get some natural organic medication, some herbals. That's what Pip's doing.
I wonder if these berries are poisonous.
Oh, look at that. Look at this. She's already talking. Not even expecting Pip to talk, and she's talking. She's playing hurt tonight, kids. Respect. Respect to Pip. On the show, should it be legal? God damn, my eyes have been bad all day. Should it be legal for my eyes to be bad? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It should not be legal for that. We're going to go with the glasses to complete this awful look I got going on. On the show, should it be legal to sacrifice animals in your home? In Michigan, in some places it is. We'll talk about that. School of Fools and a professor learns the Prophet Muhammad is not ready for his close-up. No matter how much he warned the kids that Momo is coming, sometimes it's just too much. And Jesus is ready for his close-up, but not everybody wants to see the Jesus. That's Joe's blog. That happened at the Merchant Marines, which Pip and I once learned so much about. So I thought it'd be interesting to talk about them. In Virginia, it may be BYOB in the HOV, the BYOB in the HOV, but it's not bring your own booze, it's bring your own baby in the HOV. That's going down in Virginia. We'll tell you about that. And we will solve the riddle, I've been teasing it for the past couple days, of what is over 100 years old and can be found in an 88-year-old man's butt. So we got that coming. And if we have Pip, we'll do some scamming scammers. If we don't have Pip, a man is asked to remove his Jesus shirt in the Mall of America, and Tucker Carlson and Fox News. That's the war on M&Ms. We'll bring you that, the hard hitting war on M&Ms. You will not believe the crap Tucker Carlson is upset about, but you will because he's a ninny. So that's what's going on. We're not going to ask Pip to talk too much. Although I will ask all you guys to look. Behold my head. We got a real problem with the hair. See, Joe always makes fun of my hair, even when I have a good haircut. But Joe's an asshole, and he's bald, so it really makes no difference what Joe says. But here's the situation now. Much like Pip, my hairstylist is on the DL. She's on the injured reserve. I don't know when she's coming back. My daughter needs a haircut. I need a haircut. So I called the salon, and the owner's like, well, she's got to do physical therapy, and maybe next month. Not really good. I've been with this hairstylist since I moved up here. I'm very loyal to my hairstylist. I'm not loyal to anybody else, but I'm loyal to my hairstylist. I'm sure a lot of you guys can relate. But here's the situation now. So I've had kind of shorter on the sides, and I've been kind of brushing my hair, the longer hair is longer on top, off to one of the sides. I think it's looked pretty good, gotten a lot of compliments on it. So in lieu of my hairstylist, Robin, I've asked my wife to buzz. So she buzzed, but this time I let it get too long. She buzzed once before. Usually I don't have anybody touch my head but my hairstylist, Robin. Can't do that now. So she buzzed before. So the left side of my head is buzzed. The right side of my head is not really buzzed, but I got that's where the flop is going. You see,
I need to see the left side.
Left side.
Oh, that's really buzzed.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I like it really buzzed.
You got an asymmetrical look. I like it.
Really? You think this is working?
Yeah, I like it.
Thank you.
I like asymmetrical haircuts. But turn again so I can really look.
All right. And amuse yourselves with silence as I move closer towards Pip.
Well, yeah, I need to really see the up close and personal. Yeah, no, I like it. I like it, like, shorter on the one side and long on the other. It looks kind of edgy. Yeah, it's working.
All right. Thank you, Pip. I'm glad I got your approval before Stupid gets on here and, you know, does
what, oh, well, whatever you had on your head was going to be a problem.
Yeah, he really whatever. He picks on the stupidest things. So I am having hairstyle issues. That's what's going on with me.
Oh, honey, I have now. Here's the thing: is that I have roots going on here.
You have black people working in the fields?
Yes. I have a Kunta Kinte hairstyle going on.
I like that. I like that because a lot of white women would not take that chance. But Pip is owning it. She's in the woods. She's like, if they didn't want to be in my head, they would escape and run away. I love the fact that a white woman like yourself has roots in your head. You know what that makes you, Pip? That makes you an ally. And I like that about you.
I like to think that I am an ally.
You are an ally.
But even though I'm part German, I'm still an ally.
Well, not to the Jews, dear. You're not much of an ally to the Jews.
But the thing is, I've been home the last 2 days sick, and I thought, well, I'm home. I could dye my hair. But then I thought, what's the look when you come back to work after being sick with your hair dead?
No.
Right?
The only way that would be acceptable is if you screwed it up where your hair looked ridiculously bad, and then they might think you didn't want to show your face.
You know what? I tried. I went to work on Monday morning, and I put on a mask, but my coworkers asked me to go home. So I worked for an hour on Monday. And they said, you really, really need to go home. I don't think it was so much for me as it was for them, because they didn't know what kind of creeping crud I had. And same.
Well, that's the difference now. We're not supposed to go into the office sick. We always went in sick because we're Americans and we're stupid and we show up when we're sick. But never now since COVID, you're not supposed to. And Pip's like, you know what? I feel infectious. Let's let it roll. Look at Joe. Holy shit. He looks like he's about to take a hostage.
Okay. All right. I heard the talk about the haircut. You look like a weevil.
Whatever. You look like you're going through chemo. What are you look with that schmata on your head?
Yeah.
But I got to be honest, I would not wish lymphoma on you, cuz that's not fair to lymphoma to have to deal with you for that long.
Oh.
I am a little afraid of what price I would fetch on the market looking at you with that hat on, Joe.
Joe, do me a favor. Go like this. La, 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 but do it quickly. Let me hear that sound.
La, 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 la.
Yeah, yeah. I could see. I could also see Joe, like, on a speedboat off an African coast trying to commandeer a cargo ship in that hat.
Oh, gosh.
I am the captain now.
Well, Terrorist Joe joining the show. Thank you, Joe.
So, Pip, we're going to try to keep you as long as we can, but we're not going to ask you to carry much tonight. But it's always nice. It's always nice to have your presence. And if, like you said, if you don't have to, but if you can make it through to Scamming Scammers, we'll do that, and that'll be fun. And there's not that much talking that you guys have to do. And if not, I got extra stories for us to do. But
I gotta tell you something. You were talking about your hairdresser not being in.
Yes.
And I went to go to the dentist to have a cleaning done on Saturday. And I go into the dentist, and the dentist goes, your regular hygienist pulled out, so such and such is going to be doing your cleaning. Now, I have somebody almost every time, I could care less. So she's doing the clean. Everything is fine, but it's too fine. With the thing that, you know when they have the hook and they put the hook through your gums?
Oh, yeah, when they pick. Yeah, it's, you know what I think they're doing? I think what they're doing, Joe, is they think Biden and Trump might have hid classified documents in our teeth. So they're trying to find the classified documents in our teeth because they pick and they draw blood. It's like, not gonna. Does it hurt? Yes, because you have a sharp implement in my mouth. It hurts.
Yeah, so what the hygienist was doing, she was going through, you know, she used this one instrument that I don't, you know, that I guess cleans my teeth. And
well, hold on. Let's stop right there. What do you think else it would be? What else would she be? If it wasn't to clean your teeth, what do you think she's doing? Redecorating? Do you think she?
No, she's getting secrets out of him.
Let me expand on that.
Okay.
Basically, it's a tool. But it wasn't like the hooky thing. Now, they use usually two things when they clean my teeth.
A sedative.
Yeah, well, they use sedative. Don't fall down. But
shut up. Hey, oh, hold on, Joe. I just got a call from the 8-ball. It's missing you to knock it into the corner pocket.
So they use the manual hook, and then usually they have this power hook that they use.
The power hook.
Now, the hygienist didn't use either. She used one thing, and then she was brushing my teeth, and then she used the, before she brushed my teeth, she was flossing my teeth. And I'm sitting there going, shit, I can do that.
Yeah, but you don't. That's the problem.
I do floss every morning. Yes, I do.
Really?
And then I have my toothbrush that gives me an unsmiley, that gives me a sad face if I don't brush long enough with it. But anyway.
That's right. Well, Joe, and the toothbrush, you should be happy. That's the only thing that wants your company for a prolonged amount of time.
Yeah, but you heard that. It's like it judges me. I don't need to hear what you get. It's like you if you had bristles. You know? So
who said I don't?
This is what my toothbrush looks like.
Oh, wow. That was a smiley face before it went into Pip's mouth. Now it's a skull. No, Princess Halitosis, no! I've been through enough!
So I go, you don't use the hook, or, you know, not that I want it, but you don't use the hook or the power hook? I don't know what you're talking about. All right.
Wait, hold on. All right, let's stop right there. I don't know what you're talking. Like she's never seen tools in the dentist's office before. Well, what, they drag her in off the street?
Well, is this the one that the dentist used to examine you? And I'm like, no, it's the one you used for the cleaning. I don't know what you mean. And she kind of had a personality like a space shuttle.
Hold on. Stop. I don't care about her personality. I got to be honest with you. I don't like a dental hygienist who's chatting with me while my mouth is full of stuff. They always want to have conversation. I can't talk now, stupid. You're in my mouth. I don't care about her personality. But I don't like the fact that she doesn't know the basic tools for the job. It's like if you did your first set at the comedy club, microphone. What are you talking about, microphone? I just yell into a rolled up toilet paper roll.
You
bring up the
point. They scrape the plaque with that hooky thing.
Well, not this one.
And they pick so, at the gums.
Not this one.
Right, exactly. Now, you know, so basically, I found it a little odd. I didn't say anything because I don't.
Did you find it odd when she put her breast in your mouth to clean your teeth? Did you find that odd?
No, I found it interesting, and I also tipped over 20. But that's another story for another day.
Does insurance cover that tip?
Yeah, I'll foot the bill. No pun intended. Plus, the spit cup's used for a different reason. So anyway, I'm thinking about it, you know. And like I said, my dentist came in. I talked with him, this, that, and the other thing. And I mentioned it to Joe's girl. And then I was thinking about it the other day. I go, the other hygienist was sick. I go, I don't think she was a hygienist. I think they threw some clothes on her. Maybe she was a dental assistant. And threw some clothes on her and told, just go in there and bullshit the guy.
It sounds that way.
Yeah.
It does sound that way.
You don't want to cancel it. Because they're owned by a conglomerate now, so they figured, well, don't cancel them.
You know what you got, Joe? You got the open mic dental hygienist. That's what you got.
Yeah. So I'm due for another cleaning in July when I go back, or June. So when I get the hygienist, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go, not for nothing. Back in January, I didn't get the hook or the power hook or anything like that. Was I hornswoggled, you know?
Well, you know what, Joe? Because I'm feeling like your teeth weren't given the attention they deserve and the clean they deserve. I pick a weekend to come up here, and we have a power washer. So we would be happy to if you just smile to put the power washer on you. I would love to do that.
I'm sure you would.
You thought the water pick was powerful.
Yeah. And then another thing I found odd is, you know, when you talk about people that comment about, you know, you talk about people that comment about stuff on your page, and I'm trying to bring up the comment, but when I posted on my Facebook page, I said, yeah, if my life story was a book, it would come with crayons.
I saw that post. You like that comment so much, you put it on Twitter, too.
Yeah, I know. But here's the deal. You talk about people that are coming on your page and talking about nonsense. Everybody is laughing and making funny comments on there. There's this guy that I went to school with that puts on there, my tax returns suck this year because the non-working welfare leeching scum are living without working. And then he writes, BLM, get jobs. And then he writes, black people, stop making yourselves victims. I'm tired of paying for a man who has 8 children with 4 mothers. They should all be left to starve.
Hold on. Let me stop you right there. This is the first time I've ever seen on your page where Anthony commented.
Or I'm like, well, you know, but I'm like, why would you write that? It has absolutely nothing.
I know why. I know why. Because when you use crayons, you color. He put that together, and he went with colors, and that's what he thought you were going for. He thought you were doing a racist rant when you were just making a ha-ha about your life. He didn't understand, Joe.
I guess he didn't, but Jesus Christ, I mean, you know.
So did you respond? Did you respond?
I don't know what to say. I'm like, I don't have to take it. I was dumbfounded.
Well, I mean, if you disagree with this rant, which I hope you would, I might say, and where should we drop off the hood?
Yeah,
I mean, I this guy's clearly right wing, and I know you're right wing, but that is one hell of a rant.
This guy is like ultra magna right wing, you know, nuts right wing.
Well, most of them are.
Where everything, and you know, like I said, everything with ultra magna right wing is. Everything has got to be about how, you know, white males are being repressed or everything, you know. It's like, hey, the sun was out today. Yeah, well, probably the sun's always out in a black neighborhood. You know, they tell us, you know, shit like that. And,
yeah.
You got to there's
some people that everything has to circle back to the thing that they're mad about. And they take any opportunity, even if it had nothing to do with it, to spout their nonsense. And
that's
an extreme case.
I got them on my page. I haven't had something like that in quite some time.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck?
Well, now you guys remember Diamond and Silk? You remember them?
Yeah, I think Silk passed away.
Diamond passed away. So let's see if I get some hate comments on this. So I put the article where Diamond passed away. I go, Diamond. I guess diamonds aren't forever.
Oh, that's great. Oh my God.
But I was watching the Daily Show, part of it, and I want to get to that in a second. I was watching the Daily Show, and Wanda Sykes was on, and I didn't realize this. So I guess Silk. Because Diamond and Silk were huge Trump supporters. That's how they came to fame. Donald Trump found the two black ladies who supported him and go, black people like me. And they were huge Trump supporters. They were huge Trump supporters. And they actually met with Trump a couple times in the White House. And there's pictures of them with Donald Trump, and Trump looks happy. And so I guess Silk wanted Trump to speak at Diamond's funeral. Which he did, which is pretty cool for former president, you know, speaking of the, but he's talking and he's like, yeah, you know, I always thought, to the effect of, you know, I always thought Diamond was great, and now the Silk, she's going to be, I think she's going to be an up-and-comer, a big star. I don't really know Silk. Motherfucker, you just took a bunch of pictures with her. I mean, I know we talk about Dementia Joe, not you, Joe, Dementia Joe Biden, I mean, the two of these guys, and I've been saying it for years with Trump, the two of these guys. I mean, we are so doomed.
They just shove him out there and hope for the best.
He didn't remember them? That's really strange.
No, he didn't. How do you not remember the two black women who like you when you're Donald Trump? There's two. You got them. You found them. They found you. You invited them to the White House. Go, see, I'm not racist. The black people just don't clean in the White House. I'm going to take a picture with them. See? Look at me. Multiracial. Who are you? What are you?
Very weird.
The funny thing is, you're not ad-libbing that. That was actually a transcript.
No, but I didn't. I just saw it earlier today, and I didn't get a chance to look at it. I wasn't even going to bring it up. But if you get a chance, look, Google, like, the eulogy Donald Trump gives for Diamond. And trust me in the fact that they have multiple pictures together, and you guys know who they are because they were such hardcore Trump supporters. That's how they rose to fame. And he's like, he doesn't know who the hell she is. Who the hell? Somebody wake up stupid. I mean, are we just going to put like a bib and a dribble cup underneath these two when they're running in 2024? Is that what we're going to do? I mean, one guy's shaking hands that aren't there. Another guy doesn't remember somebody who took a bunch of pictures. I mean, the two of them. And they can't get enough of the documents. And apparently now Mike Pence has documents. We all have documents. You know, Joe used to bust my balls all the time about the cowboy hat that I used to wear. I'm actually going to bring it, show you right here. Haven't worn it in a while.
Oh, no, he's going for props.
Anything to cover that hairdo.
There you go. So here's the cowboy hat.
What is it on display?
Keep it good. Wait, now people don't realize underneath this cowboy hat, classified documents. That's right. Right underneath this cowboy hat are classified documents. We all have documents now.
I definitely have some. I have some in my my rapid test here.
Oh, Pip's going to take the test. So,
I mean, do you guys want to see everything?
I want to see it all. I want to see pregnancy test too while we're at it.
Yeah.
Joe, you take one too. Joe, pee on the stick.
Yeah. That ship has sailed.
All right, so Pip's going to do this. When she gets into it, I will do a little play-by-play. So,
I've got to find the instructions. I don't know what I do with
them. Haven't you done it enough?
Here they are.
You got to stick it up your nose.
Yeah, but I'm
stick it up your nose, and you put it in the thing, and then you let the thing sit for 5 minutes, and then
you put it in the thing.
Joe, what are you
writing? Talking about the pregnancy test again?
Joe, what are you doing?
Put it in the thing?
Joe, what are you doing? Writing instructions for IKEA? Those instructions are god awful.
Yeah, they were kind of bad.
Put it in the thing, and you twirl the thing.
I'm giving you an overview. I don't have them in front of me. What do you want out of me?
If I did want something out of you, would we get it tonight? I don't know.
Let's see.
Okay. So, my daughter was in Awe County again. I mean, she's just killing it with the violin. But even when she's not in Awe County, even when she's just doing the performances at the school, I've noticed something Mostly with the choral, but even with some of the orchestral music. There's a lot of religious music in it. A lot of hallelujahs and praise the Lord. And it kind of like struck me because I'm looking at these kids in the choir. And there's definitely some, like, Muslim kids in the choir, and I'm sure there's Jewish kids there, but you can tell that there's some Muslim kids there, and I'm sure there's agnostic and atheist kids. I think 25% of the country is agnostic or atheist. And I'm just thinking, this is like a public school performance. Should we really be having all these hallelujahs and praise the Lords and everything?
No, I don't think
so. How many songs are they doing singing praise the Lord to?
Well, you got to remember, so what all county is, it's the best in the county of the band, of the orchestra, and the choral. I mean, the choral's really the only ones I notice because, you know, the other ones, there's no words to it. But I every time I see a choir perform at one of these things, there's always at least one song, and they're only doing three. So 33%. There's always at least one God song in there. And I'm just thinking, huh, why? And I asked my wife this. She says, well, you know, maybe because a lot of churches have choirs. And I get that, like, a lot of this music is older music, and it was written at a lot of times when people were taking their artistic influence from religion and everything. But it just kind of, like, struck me, especially when you have these Muslim kids. Like, you see this girl, she's completely covered up. Not a burqa, but she's completely covered up where you see her face. And another boy, he's wearing... It wasn't a turban. I don't know what it was, but a type of hat where I'm thinking he was Muslim and everything. And it's just like, oh, these kids have to sing this stuff.
But, yeah, but the thing about it is that how much choir music, I mean, I would say a majority of the choir music is geared around religion.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the argument.
Choir, no Jewish choir, I mean, if you wanted to sing Habanagila, you know.
No, so no, I don't, yeah. Joe. You know what? If it's like the holiday concert, I get it. You know, if the holiday concert, all right, fine. But this wasn't a holiday concert. This
I know, but do you know any songs for choir that are non-religious?
Well, we get the play. You know what? Every metal song has a hook.
Every rose has a thorn.
Yeah, every rose. Example: every rose has its thorn.
Yeah, I mean, Somebody to Love from Queens. You know, I mean, you could sing that or something like that, but if you got to do a choir and you got to take a regular song, you got to arrange it and sit and make I mean, even when a band, like if the acoustic band goes out and there's a bunch of songs that, you know, are done electric and you want to do acoustic versions, even though you didn't write the song, I've had to do it twice, and, you know, Sexy Susan. And Now or Never, we'd have to take the arrangements and redo the arrangements around an acoustic performance, which is different. To take a regular song and break it down into a choir requires so much more work and so much more arranging.
All right, let me ask you this. What about Broadway? Because all these musicals have choir performance. Pip is reading the instructions now. I will let everybody know when she sticks it up the schnoz. But what about, I mean, like, I mean, I guess you don't want to do a whole show of show tunes. I guess that. But I mean,
no.
But I mean, all these musicals have choral pieces, right?
It seems like they should be able to come up with secular music for them to do for this.
It's three songs, kids. It's three songs.
It doesn't come with choral arrangement. It comes with group arrangement. I mean, I know a chorus is a group. But I think that you could arrange, like that song from Greek, Tell Me More, Tell Me More. I think you could arrange it like that, but you got to make it sound right. You're trying to teach it to these kids. So I think for the chorus, it's much more. There are a lot of songs if you want to look, I don't know, like madrigal songs. I don't know how much religion are based on madrigal songs, but you could pick a madrigal song, you know, and do it that way, you know. But... if it was the band, what are you doing? If it was the, violin or a chamber.
Well, they've done it. They've done the in orchestra. They've done that before. I mean, but I think that's usually during the holiday ones. And again, I'm like, wow, that's very gaudy for the holidays.
Gaudy.
With chorus, I mean, pipe organ. You know, we went to see the pipe organ, and everything was based around religion. Well, at least you're playing the middle part of Smoking from Boston. You're going to hear all you know, church music.
What about a little Inagata DeVita?
Yeah, yeah. there was no church organ in there.
So you think I'm wrong to be perturbed?
I think you're wrong to be perturbed because the musical selection for a chorus is going to be mainly from a religious background. I don't know of any choral tunes that are not from a religious background on that.
Well, I mean, I will say the religious stuff does show off the different types of voices, the tenors, the sopranos, but couldn't you do something operatic?
Oh, that would be really hard for the kids.
That's going to be tough to do because you have to arrange everything just so it's sitting down and arranging. You know, I mean, you could grab the music teacher and go, hey, not for nothing. Have you thought of doing a musical, something from a musical, and try that? Look, I've mentioned it. Like I said, my friend Dawn, her son, was playing at the School of Rock. And I was there, Patrick, who, you know, is my one of my good friends and also I played in bands with, I said the keyboard stand is too high for Warren to play. And I go, and the first thing they teach you playing the piano is the proper height and stuff like that. Well, you know what? It got back to the music teacher, and the music teacher wrote me and said, well, look, I got these kids, and, you know, and it's kind of rough because I got all these kids. You're absolutely right. But, you know, when we're playing, you should know as a live musician. You know, and he wrote back, and he had a good point. So if you bring it up to the teacher, they would be receptive, and they would have an explanation for why, or you know what, maybe you have a great idea. We'll look into it. Maybe we can find something that's not that hard to arrange. So yes, mention it to the music teacher. Hey, not for nothing. Have you ever thought of doing, you know?
Well, I mean, this is the all county. These are from out of the region, and they work with these kids for like 24 hours. I mean, the choral teacher.
All right. So even more so.
But I will say this: this choral teacher had this one song, the arrangement, so the girls leave the stage and they walk up the aisle, and then all of a sudden, I guess maybe it wasn't from Lion King, I don't know what the hell it was. Next thing you know, you're hearing bird noises, monkey noises, they're doing all these noises and they're singing these songs and they got these hand motions. I'm like, shit, in less than 24 hours, these kids did it. It was really impressive. Like at first you go, what the hell is this? And then you go, wow, this is really impressive. So they can do it.
All right, yeah. So maybe with that, if they're putting on a presentation like that, it's like, look, we can't bring another tune to arrange and stuff like that. You know, we have to work with what we've run. The kids do the home learning on it, then they do it at their school, and then they come in. We got 24 hours before the gig to get it down and blah, 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 you know. So maybe with like I said, it was like what the music teacher told me. You know, look, I know the stand should be more comfortable. I got kids coming up and down. We've only got a certain amount of time. I understand, but you know, under the restrictions we're under, I get it. But you know, it's got to be this way. You know.
Well, you know, now here's where we have to call our friends at the After School Satan Club, and that they insist on equal representation and make the kids sing "Shout at the Devil." Let's go. Let's go.
I like that. I like that a lot.
All right, Pip. Pip, where are we with this? I see you unfurling many things.
All right.
She's got the Q-tip out.
I put the drops in the little packet.
Okay.
Now I have to shove this up my nostril and swirl around.
That is
ready to watch this.
This is a large Q-tip.
Yeah, it says a half an inch to 3/4 of an inch up your nose. So I'm not going for brain.
No, Pip. You know what? You know what? I think that's a little too cautious. Go 3 inches, dear.
Yeah, 3 inches. No, and it says make 5 big circles and then pull it out, old Koopy, and stick it in the other one. So here goes.
Oh, this is hot. 1, 2. Look at the face she's making. She looks upset. She's scrunching up her little face.
It's not pleasant.
There she goes. She's doing the other nostril. She's in the left nostril. The eyebrows are going.
It's not a boat or it's a spa. Relax.
She's blowing her nose. She's shaking her heads off. The members of the Roots cast have fled her head.
Now I have to stick it in here.
And wait 15 minutes.
And I have to turn it 3 times.
All right. And you got to turn it out for 5 minutes.
And then, 15 minutes. Taking a little adhesive strip off so I could close it over the spot And now it's going to sit here like a little cardboard lollipop for 15 minutes while we chat.
I am going on the record right now. I'm going to put a bet on a FanDuel. I'm going to bet that Pip does not have COVID.
Okay.
What say you?
I'm going Pip doesn't have COVID either.
What do you say, Pip?
I really don't know, but I have to come up with some, you know, positive or negative for work. So,
well,
here we go.
Well, for our purposes, we just need to know if you think you have COVID.
Yeah, I don't think so, because okay. I just got it. I'm thinking it's probably a sinus infection.
And you know what? You can play the show to the day program and go, see?
They don't know I do this.
Not really.
She's ashamed of us.
Yeah, no. No. There's enough problems there that I don't need to be going, oh, yeah, you want to hear what I talked about? I didn't get to tell you guys. My manager quit.
And, really?
Yeah, it was right after, I guess he gave notice right after New Year's, and then he knew, everybody knew for a week, but didn't tell the employees. So then the next week, he told everybody, and I was like, whoa. So it turns out that he went to another shop. He took a step down from manager to the position he had before he became the manager because he was just too stressed. And I'm like, I knew he was. But it's like, it just shows that, I mean, it's become a revolving door there.
Well, you know, managers or regular employees there?
All of them.
Well, yeah. at my wife's job, they just got rid of her manager and her manager's manager. So my wife is like essentially an island of one now.
Well, he cleaned at one of the vendors that I rep. He cleaned house there 3 weeks ago, and my customer service person there, who was fantastic, she got let go. Another couple of people, I mean, good, and they were good people. I mean, there was one girl there that they let go. Good riddance. She was a dope. But the other two, I was not happy. Matter of fact, we told her, look, you know, send us a resume, and maybe we could try to do something for you, you know. But yeah, so it's what happens. You know, what's been happening? The bigger companies, they're projecting a recession. A lot of the Fortune 500 companies. So what they're doing is they're downsizing now, so they don't have to do it. And they figure, well, if we have to hire people, we'll hire people. So yeah, it's getting slow out there.
Well, my company, my wife's company, is ever growing. It used to be owned by like one person, then they got sold to I think corporate raiders and whatnot. But they do is they lay off a bunch of people because they've done this several times. They lay off a bunch of people right before they acquire a new company.
Yeah, they'll do that. You want to look more attractive to the other company that they're not handling, you know, too much payroll.
It stresses my wife out. She really liked her boss. But the good thing about my wife, and I tell her all the time, is she's a really good worker bee. Like, I can never do what she does dealing with people, but she goes above and beyond. I'm like, you know what? As long as you keep on educating yourself and learning new stuff, which she does not want to do, they're never going to get rid of you because you're really good. It's hard to find really good people that go above and beyond and are good with the customers and can learn technical stuff. So
yeah. Well, I tell you, I was talking to one of my bosses about it. And he goes, well, you know, in a Fortune 500 company, they have to report to the shareholders. Shareholders want earnings. He goes, in a smaller company like us, we don't have to report. It's just us. We have to report to us. And we don't want to, you know, and if it gets slow, we don't want to get rid of anybody because when things get back to normal, we have to rehire people. We have a very good staff, and we don't, you know, and now we have to go find people. We'll figure it out. We'll deal with it. You know, and we'll retain everybody we possibly can. So, and they've been very good about it, man. They could have laid us off during the pandemic, but no, they held tight for the simple reason we do have a very, very good staff. I mean, I've worked in a lot of places. The staff we have is very good, and they know it, and they don't want to lose anybody. So, you know, they're going to try to, you know, if things do get slow, which it has been slow this month, you know, they're going to, you know, take every step they can before they, God forbid, have to cut us back or anything like that.
All right, I posted this on my Facebook, and I knew it would get some controversy, but you know, so I will bring it here. Last week I was watching The Daily Show. Trevor Noah left the show, Whatever you think about him is irrelevant. He's no longer there. And they're doing all these guest hosts. I know Joe didn't watch any of it. Pip, did you happen to catch The Daily Show last week?
I haven't. Okay. I liked the look of the roster they had, but I didn't manage to catch any.
So last week, excuse me, was Leslie Jones. If you don't know who Leslie Jones is, she was on Saturday Night Live. She was in the female Ghostbusters. She got really upset because they did the sequel of the original Ghostbusters was the last release, and she's like, "Oh, it's like we didn't even exist." Yeah, because the movie sucks, stupid. That's why it didn't exist. I mean, and it didn't suck because it was women. It sucked because it sucked. Anyway, so Leslie Jones and I didn't just think I'm not the only one who thought so. It was a popular.
No, opinion. No, I didn't like that one either. I thought they could have done much better than that.
Yeah, I mean, and they had Bill Murray in it, but he wasn't even Dr. Venkman. So what's the point? Anyway. So Leslie Jones was hosting last week, and Leslie Jones, if you don't know what she does, and I guess Pip might be a fan, she likes the roster, Leslie Jones screams a lot and says pussy a lot and fuck a lot, doesn't just scream punchlines, screams premises, just constantly screaming. It was unwatchable for me. And then she did her first interview was with Morris Chestnut, and she's just it was just very hard.
Morris Chestnut,
who is that?
He's in a bunch of movies. He's an African American male actor. He's in the series of movies The Best Man. I think I saw the original. Anyway, she's just fawning all over him, which is fun. So anyway, on the last one, on the last episode, Thursday night, she was talking about men's mental health, which I gather it seemed like she picked it and she was passionate about it, like she cared about men's mental health, but she was screaming through that. So I came up with this list of people that I personally do not understand how they have the careers they have. These are successful people. I don't understand the careers they have. We're not talking about reality stars like Kim Kardashian or anything like that. These are mainstream stars. So here's my list. We can discuss. You guys can tell me how wrong I am or right I am. And if you want to add a couple, we can do that too. Leslie Jones is on my list. I never understood her. I get it, like the shtick is a loud black woman, but does it have to be in everything? And just as an aside, I saw the first 8 minutes of The Daily Show that was last night with Wanda Sykes, and it was tremendous. I'm like, wow.
Wanda Sykes is a queen. She's amazing.
Yes, queen. No, I mean, but I'm like, okay, this woman is smart. She's passionate. She's funny as hell. I would watch it if Wanda became the host. Now, I only got through 8 minutes, and I had to stop. I had to do other stuff.
Yeah, but the thing, like, you had, who was the first woman you were speaking about? I'm sorry.
Leslie Jones.
Now, Leslie Jones, she was on Saturday Night Live. I guess she, as a comic, maybe she was a newer comic that came out. Wanda Sykes is like an old school comic, you know, like
Leslie Jones is apparently a well-known stand-up comic. She didn't get discovered until she was over 50. She's apparently a well-known stand-up comic.
Well, you know what? Maybe because she's a character-driven comic, you know, like so many comics are now that are barely watchable, where Wanda Sykes is one of the ones that came up in the 80s and is the real deal, you know?
So I had Leslie Jones on my list. Then perhaps the one I thought would be the most controversial, but I never got him. Tracy Morgan. And I've watched his stand-up. I don't understand. I've seen some of it live. It's always just mumble to me. And I didn't really...
I like Tracy Morgan. I like Tracy Morgan. He's hysterical. Right.
The other one... Then I got two more. Carson Daly. If ever you needed a bland, decent-looking man to be the interviewer... Carson Daly is your bland man. I never got him. I mean, I got that he's attractive. I got that aspect of him. I never found him entertaining, riveting. I never thought the questions he asked were very good. I never thought he added anything. And my last one, the actress Kristen Stewart. If you don't know Kristen Stewart, she was in the Twilight movies. She was when the vampires and the werewolves were fighting, they were fighting over this dopey bitch. She's so boring, and everything she does. She was on Saturday Night Live. She guest host was terrible. I saw something where she was doing a movie about Guantanamo. She was terrible. Like if I'm the vampire and the werewolf. And we're fighting over her. I'd be like, listen, not for nothing. You howl at the moon. I'll sneak into windows. We can do better than this Daffy bitch. She's not that good looking to put up with this bland personality where we're tearing each other apart. What are we doing here, kids? We're supernatural beings. We can get any earth bitch we want. And this is what we're fighting over? We could do, well, isn't Pamela Anderson on the beach somewhere? Can't we sink our fangs into those D cups while she's running? That would be fun. Why are we fighting over Kristen Stewart? So those are my four.
I agree.
And look, the state of comedy. I was watching a show, Devin. I don't know if you saw it. It's called comedy.tv. It was on Channel 55. I was watching it a couple of weeks ago, and the acts on there were awful. I'm sitting home now. The thing about it is, you go, well, I guess it's sour grapes from another comic. No, it's sour grapes from a person that's paying for basic cable.
Yeah, but Joe, I have a feeling they're probably paying for that time. I don't think that's a real show.
I think it was, and what I wrote on there, it's like there's no real game changers anymore. Like the Rodney, and I even wrote it, like the Rodney Dangerfield special. There were game changers on there. Amazing talents that you're like, where if you're not a comic, you're like, this is one of the funniest guys I've ever saw. Or if you were a comic, you're like, well, here's where the bar is. I haven't seen anybody in a while that I consider a game changer.
Oh, I think there's
so fucking bland.
But that's not really what we're talking about. You're talking about unknown comics. I'm talking about major celebrities.
Known people.
Major celebrities.
But people that are, in a way I am, because people that are big, that are milquetoast, that aren't going to upset the apple cart, that are bland.
Yeah, but, well, I would say Carson Daly and Kristen Stewart are bland, but Tracy Morgan and Leslie Jones are not bland.
Yeah.
I guess, but, maybe, you get a couple on there that, are a little bit different, but they were on network TV, and maybe they got on because from their network TV appearances than their stand-up appearances.
Well, all right. So do you guys agree with my list? Let's start there.
I actually do. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you had a problem with Tracy Morgan, so you're agreeing with the list?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I stand corrected on that. I like Tracy Morgan. I think he's hysterical.
Yeah, I don't get his comedy. I it doesn't work for me.
Yeah, no, I like it. Sometimes he's got to be reined in a little bit, but he's a pretty funny guy.
Now, to be fair, I never really watched 30 Rock, and supposedly he was good on that. Did anybody watch 30 Rock?
I started it.
And on 30 Rock, he was reined in. He didn't go off. So based on his appearances on 30 Rock, I think that's how he got that spot on the show more than his stand-up.
Yeah, I don't think that he was great on 30 Rock, the episodes that I saw. I mean, there were occasionally skits on Saturday Night Live that I thought were funny, but most of the time I don't find him that great. It just doesn't appeal to me. And it's just like what's her name, the yeller. I'm fuzzy. The yelling woman. You first brought up.
Oh, Leslie Jones.
Thank you. Leslie Jones. Occasionally, she can be funny, but most of the time, it is just over the top yelling. And when she was on Weekend Update, it was all about like. Being very commanding and scary towards one of the guys that was there that she found attractive. It seems to be a lot of her bit is that she's sexually dominant and wants to scare milquetoast white boys. That seems to be
here's
a lot of her personality. And I don't know, it that has a limited appeal.
Here now, I was with a couple black comedians over the weekend, and I brought this up to want your guys' opinion. In my opinion, black performers have had to overcome so much in the past century. Because a century ago, if they actually use black performers, there was a lot of shucking and jiving and minstrel show and demeaning shit. And what we see, we've seen now with Sidney Poitier and whoever else you want, we black people have had the opportunity to show they're damn good actors and performers in their own right, and they don't have to shuck and jive and mug to anybody. Which was a struggle for them. It shouldn't be, but that, unfortunately, that's the history of the country, which you can learn about in certain states. But when I watch when I watch Leslie Jones, to me, it takes them back. Because to me, all she does is minstrel, shuck and jive, blow out the eyes, scream, act the buffoon. There's no nuance to it.
No, I have to say that. No, as a woman, she would never have been able to do that. I mean, as a black woman.
Well, no, I'm taking the woman aspect out of it. Just the style.
You can't.
I can.
No, but I'm saying that you can't, because as a black woman, she would never have been able to do any of that stuff. It is quite a difference in the last few decades that black women are allowed to be outrageous, are allowed to be, dominant, are allowed to be like, you know, the angry black woman without people being afraid and saying, oh no, we can't have that. That scares the whitey.
I think that would be women in general, you know?
To a point.
You know, with women comics, looking to get a break, you know? And you could also, and, you know, with also black comics and white comics, I mean, you have, there's a, like Def Jam comics, there's a lot of great Def Jam comics, and then you have the white mainstream comics or the regular comics. There was a guy, Forrest Hobbs, who was a Def Jam comic, had his guys on the island, and I did a show with those guys about 10 years ago. What a great group of guys! I mean, really cool guys to hang out with and goof around with. But we really never, you know, their group and, you know, the group from Governors and all our guys, we never really interacted because not a racism, you know, the styles were so different that we worked different rooms, you know, and we rarely worked together, you know. And like I said, they were fantastic, a great act, fantastic guys. You know, I don't know if Leslie Jones would fit into a Def Jam style or whatever.
Oh, I think she would. I think Leslie would, because all she's doing is yelling and cursing. It's not the good Def Jam style.
Okay, fine. So she's a Def Jam style comic, and Saturday Night Live is looking for a black female comic or whatever. You know, she probably got the gig, but she said that, you know, you need to tame it down or you need to be sort of this style. She goes, well, this is my big break, and maybe I'll cater to that.
But here's the thing. I don't have a problem with her having that character in her repertoire. I have a problem with her being that character everywhere. If you're telling me for a sketch on Saturday Night Live where it's to be the intimidating black woman, okay. You're hosting The Daily Show. You don't have to scream the headlines at me. You know, you...
Yeah.
You want to know something? I'm going totally the opposite, but it's somebody with a personality that you don't like that just drives you nuts. I listen to WABC... And Curtis Sliwa is on that, on almost all the time. He drives me up the fucking wall. He sounds like a dope. But you listen to him talk, he's a very well-read man. He's not stupid. He's actually a smart guy. But he puts on this persona like he's the lunch truck guy. You know, when he talks about the neighborhood, and it's just aggravating. So you go, you could always turn the dial. Yeah, I know, I can. And I do, you know, but sometimes there's a segment I want to hear where I got to listen to him. I don't want to miss the segment. And I got to sit through this guy. So it's another case of somebody that's so over the top that just drives you nuts. And he's not stupid. He's a very well-read man, but he comes off like a fucking dope with his mannerisms. And he's always yelling and hollering, you know. So, yeah.
Pip is holding something up. What's the news, Pip?
Negative.
Yes.
All right.
Atta girl.
Yeah. You got enough antibodies cruising around. It's going to look like the bar scene in Bronx Tale. Now you just can't leave. So anything that winds up, he's going to get his ass kicked.
Yeah. you know what? I hope something gets a test kick.
Do you feel relieved that you're not positive with COVID again?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think you would be. I'm glad. Well, that's good news. Yeah.
I didn't think so, but I wanted to check it.
I think you got a sinus infection. All right, before I take a break, are there actors, actresses, singers, even anybody mainstream interviewers that should be added to my list of ugh?
Ooh, that's tough.
I mean, I can name comics in general I don't like, but that's not actually what you're asking.
No, I want very successful people that you look at them and go, I just don't get it. Not where you go, I can
all
see.
Right. Anthony Jeselnik, I don't find him funny at all.
Okay. He's not really on that level, but I know who he is. Like, if you're a comedy fan, you know.
He does a lot of writing. I saw his stand. I don't get it. I don't get it.
He grew on me. Anthony, he grew on me because it's a different beat than what we're normally used to. But I could see it being very off-putting because it's very nasty. It's very, very mean comedy.
It's nasty, but it's not like nasty like Jim Norton nasty where it's funny. It's just, I don't. Well,
that's your opinion.
It doesn't make me laugh. I don't get it.
What about you, Pip? Anybody?
Well, not every time. There are moments that are good, but Adam Sandler.
Really? I could see it because it's like, because in a lot of his early movies, it was the same character over.
Shabadoo!
Yeah.
But that character.
I never got it.
But he's actually become a decent actor now. He's actually.
When he's not doing comedy, he actually is a good actor. It's surprisingly good. But his comedy, I don't understand.
He was playing that. He's another one that was playing that same character in a lot of things. And then I guess he got big enough where he created his own work where he didn't have to do that. But apparently Leslie Jones was even doing that on like Supermarket Sweep. Apparently she was like hosting that and she was screaming and everything. So she can't. And I'm not saying she's a stupid woman. I don't know her at all. But it just seems like everything. It's just all right. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like every Robin Williams interview where he's jumping on the couch and being manic. It's like that. It's like, all right, once in a while, this is kind of fun to watch. But sometimes, just sit still and do something else. And Robin Williams did. Robin Williams became a great dramatic actor.
Yes, yes, amazing. Well, he was a great comedian, you know.
He was.
It's just that mania, coupled with his admitted cocaine use, was sometimes so overbearing that it went past funny.
Yeah, you know. Also, I mean, I'm a major, major George Carlin fan. Influenced stuff like that. However, there was a point I would say probably late '80s, '90s that you'd watch a special and you're like, get to the point.
Right, but you never watched him and go, I don't understand his fame. It was never that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's even in my bio. 12 years old, I'm all in.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. People that, in your opinion. I just don't get. Yeah, it's like there are people that I don't get that I could see appealing to other people. Like Adam Sandler, like Pip was saying, I could see kids appreciating that. Maybe not adults, but I could see kids. But I don't like Leslie Jones doing that once in a while. I could see appealing. I could see that, you know, that character in the repertoire of characters she does. I could see that appealing to people. Not necessarily to me, but I could see how that.
Another one, and we're going old school on this one, is Andy Kaufman. I never got him. I never found him funny.
I thought
he didn't get it at all.
I thought he was excellent in Taxi.
Very good in Taxi.
Right, but this is what I'm saying. Like, you got to look at their body of work of what's known to us and go, okay, right. I don't like them in this, but I could see it here. These four that I named, I can't see it anywhere. Now, I've been told by people Leslie Jones is a great comedian. Okay, I know she had like a Netflix special and I didn't see it. And from what I understand, it was a lot of what I described. Carson Daly was explained to me that he creates a lot of shows, produces a lot of shows like The Voice. Okay, I get that. You're a creative mind. But the on-screen product, I don't see him being a great interviewer like a Howard Stern or a Barbara Walters or an Oprah Winfrey. I never see him getting stuff out of anybody that nobody really gets. I just see him sitting there like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah. He is Mr. Bland.
Who was that again?
Carson Daly.
Carson Daly. I thought he meant Howard Stern. No. You know what? He's a talking head. He looks pretty.
Yes.
He's harmless. You know, that's what they're looking for.
But then Kristen Stewart, I definitely don't get. I mean, she's okay looking. I mean, you know, she's a seven. I mean, so it's
a good agent.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, you know what? You'll see a lot of really pretty or good-looking actors, actresses but they're not that good. But you go, okay, they're pretty, and then you'll see some ones that are not that great-looking, but they're just great performers. And you go, okay, I understand that. She's okay looking. She's not dynamic. It's the same boring thing in everything. She's the antithesis of Leslie Jones. Leslie Jones, in my own opinion, is over the top in everything. And Kristen Stewart is a white paint in everything. Eggshell white paint in everything. It's like, what are we doing here?
But you know why? Because I think they're trying to throw it in and see what works over at The Daily Show. I mean, he's got a big... Jon Stewart... was an institution, okay? And then Trevor Noah, I never found him funny. I don't think the ratings were that good. And Trevor Noah leaves. They've got a hell of a problem over there. They've got to put that show back to where it was.
Let me stop you there. Stewart's my guy. Trevor Noah got better as it went on. And with Trevor Noah, you got to remember, man, people our age are watching TV. Nobody else is watching TV. They're doing viral stuff, views. And Trevor Noah, they would get like a million views on like, you know, a clip from The Daily Show that they would put up. So that's what they were doing. And I did think he did grow into the part. He certainly became a better interviewer. Again, not Jon Stewart, but that's okay. You started to see what he was passionate about. He grew into it. It took him a little while, but that's okay. And they're just giving people, listen, they got Sarah Silverman coming up. I really don't need to see that, but I'll watch it. They got Chelsea Handler coming up. I don't need to see that. They're doing a search. I think Wanda Sykes, from the first 8 minutes that I've seen, I think she's going to be the best of the lot, and maybe she'll get the gig. I'd be fine with that.
I'd be fine with it, too, because I like Wanda Sykes. I think she's very smart and very funny.
The interesting thing, though, is Wanda Sykes is old. I mean, Trevor Noah was young. Even Jon Stewart was younger Jace when he started it. So if you're going to get somebody as old as Wanda Sykes, who we have no problem with, but I mean, maybe they've just given up on the kids.
It depends on the audience they're looking for. Look, you know, what's screwing us and why we're sitting home a lot of weekends is all the clubs are looking at U2 stars and this, that, and the other thing with U2 hits and stuff like that. And that's why we're sitting home, because the clubs are bringing them in. TV is no different. I mean, if they have a talented older comic that's very good at interviewing, but they have somebody that gets a million hits on YouTube that can carry a conversation, well, guess who's getting the gig? You know, ratings.
That's fine as long as they're talented. I will say this: if Leslie Jones were to get the full time gig, which she won't, but if she were to get the full time gig, that would be the end of me watching The Daily Show.
And like I said, if you bring in some YouTube star, if he could make a conversation and he's good, you know, but if he's just going through the motions, and I'm talking not as a sour grapes comic, I'm talking about somebody that's paying for basic cable, you know, bring somebody on that's entertaining that could hold an interview.
I think they also have D.L. Hughley coming in. I think D.L. will be excellent also.
All right, yeah, you know, D.L. Hughley, you know, he's got a decent name, you know, and he's a comic.
Again, an older guy, but D.L. Hughley, I think, is a very smart individual too. But an older guy, so it's all these people that they're bringing in are older. It's kind of interesting. There's nobody young. Jon Stewart picked Trevor Noah, and Trevor Noah was in his 20s when he started, which really was the smart thing. So maybe they are giving up on the getting the old. Maybe this is just for Gen X now. Maybe that's what this is for, which is fine.
You want to know something? You got to pay the bills. You know, it's like, look, if there's a young comic that's got a bunch of YouTube hits that their act is mediocre, but they're headlining governors, you know, and they're filling the plate. What am I going to tell James? Well, I could bring maybe four people. Is that going to pay the bill? No, I got to sit home and figure it out, and then they fill the seats. Is my act better? Yeah, most likely. But can I draw? And and that's the thing now. Can I draw those numbers? No, I can't.
You know what would be interesting, and then we will take a break. Hopefully, we'll have Pip with us. We'll find out in a second if we're going to continue Pip. It'll be really let's just assume they've given up on the youth, and I'm saying this because of the people they're bringing in are all middle aged and older. What would be really interesting was if they put Al Franken behind that desk.
Oh God, I would love that.
I mean,
well, Al Franken's no spring chicken.
No, but I'm saying we're giving up on the youth because I'm saying that because of what they're bringing in for these guest spots. I mean, you got a guy who was a prolific comedy writer. He's got his left wing credentials. You know, he knows the government and everything. He certainly has a point of view. That would be a really interesting choice.
Yeah, it would be. I would really be very happy to see that happen.
See, this is where the industry is right now. Do we get ratings or put asses in seats, or we try to bring in somebody that's talented that might not draw the way we want, but is a really good actor, a really good interviewer, you know, and they, look, it's a business. They're going with, you know, people that can draw, you know, over actual talent.
Do you think
the bank wants their money? You know, what can I tell you?
Don't you
think that a comedian / ex-senator would be an ideal pick for that kind of comedy political show?
I think it would
that
be.
That has man, a
yeah,
left-leaning, yeah.
22-year-old kid, I don't know.
Yeah, but you could learn a lot from him.
But that's what I'm saying, Joe. But Joe, that's what I'm saying. It seems like they're not trying to get the young kids. It seems like Trevor Noah, just by judging
under that pretense, yeah, bring Al Franken in.
I would offer him a lot of money.
The demo, yeah, definitely bring Al Franken in. Keep wanting to discuss Wanda Sykes. You know, bring in from that fold.
I'll tell you what. I mean, with Al Franken and Wanda Sykes, you know that the writing on the show, and the writing on the show is good, but you know the writing on the show would be top-notch if Wanda was at top or if Al Franken was on top, because they're such good writers.
Yeah. And you know, Al is going to do the show.
Yeah, and you could look, well, Al Franken.
He is?
Well, yeah, that's what the show's about. You're going to bring it in. You might as well get a guy from that good, you know, that cut cloth that can do the gig. You know, you might not disagree, and you want to know something? The way things are going nowadays, how far the needle is moving to the extreme in the Democratic Party. I mean, you've got guys like Bill Maher making sense where I'm going, damn, he's right, you know? So,
yeah, but Joe, Bill Maher hasn't changed. I've been watching Bill Maher for years. Bill Maher hasn't changed. Maybe you've changed. Bill Maher has had his opinions for years. And that's why the left is getting up in their panties in a bunch, because he hasn't changed. They've changed. And maybe you, after seeing all the Trump nonsense and finally breaking out of that cult, maybe you see somebody like Bill Maher go, all right, that makes sense. I don't agree with everything he says, but at least I see the point of view and he's not a loon.
But when he's questioning the woke movement on how out of hand it's getting and ripping them apart, I'm like, all right, somebody whose views I've always been against is, you know, we're starting to
Well, Joe, yes, he does question that a lot. And he also questions the insurrectionists and the Trump nonsense. Again, Bill Maher hasn't changed. But the
thing is, I could sit there and disagree with it because it's Bill Maher, but that's part of Bill Maher's job is to piss me off. But when he's pissing off a lot of the left, you know, that's like, it's like interesting, you know?
Well, I mean, but that's because that little portion of the left has changed. And Maher says, I haven't changed. It's like you kind of like said something like a couple of months ago when I was calling Biden on the carpet. He's like, all right, you know, good. I'm glad to see you're doing that. I'm like, well, I haven't changed. You know, I call bullshit bullshit. You know, the difference between Trump and Biden is Biden is cooperating with the FBI and everything. But both of them, what are you doing, guys? What do we need to get a metal detector? Do we need a paper shredder at the edge of the White House before you guys leave every day? It's a problem with both of them.
Now, yeah. But both of them, they found shit at Pence's house.
I know!
I guess the all do.
I don't. Yeah, you know what? Maybe they. Well, remember, probably August or September. I had come back from Florida, and I had worked the comedy club. And I told you the owner of the comedy club was a former Secret Service guy. Do you remember I said this to you guys?
Right.
And he said, and just he didn't outright say it to me, but I could just tell he was like a Trumpster. But we were talking about, you know, the documents, because at that point it was just Trump. And he said, well, they all do it. And I was a little skeptical. I was like, all right, you know what? Maybe he's covering for Trump. But then you look at the – look, you go, well, no, they're right. They all do it. It seems like
– and, you know, and – also, I was at the club Thursday. I was talking with one of our buddies who was in the FBI, and he was mentioning a lot of things where, you know, sometimes they're under a directive, a political directive that doesn't come from the local office but comes from headquarters, where it should be the opposite, where they're forced to look at stuff, you know, look at stuff. So yeah, there's all sorts of political shenanigans that go on with the CIA or the FBI.
Let me just tell you the difference between the left and the right, and then we'll take our break. So let's just say documents leaving the White House with presidents, vice presidents, bad. Can we all agree on that? Like classified bad. Can we all agree on that?
Very bad.
The difference is the right will call it a witch hunt. And it's like, oh, they're coming after our guy, and does it really matter? Nobody's saying that on the left about Biden. No, everybody's like, no, this is a problem. And the fact that more shit keeps on coming out, and the fact that he waited, it was sat on for 2 months after the election, is a problem. Nobody's saying they're out to get him. That's the difference. The cult of...
They want mums the word on this, because what happens is, if they're looking into Biden, they really can't go over, you know, they can't really skewer Trump, because what's good for the goose is good for the...
Well, it is a little different. That's the fear, the political fear. But again, the difference is Biden has cooperated. Trump has not cooperated. That is the key difference. So that's what they're going to get Trump on, the obstruction and that type of thing, the fact that he didn't cooperate. But like I said, my point was this. The difference between the right and the left, and they both have batshit sides, the right bends over backwards to, like, make themselves victims. Where the left, nobody's good. No, you never see anybody rushing to a camera on MSNBC or in Congress to go, what they're doing with Joe Biden is so wrong. Leave the man, leave the box by the man's Corvette alone. Nobody's doing that. Everybody's like, oh, this is a problem.
But the thing about it is that ever since day one, when he walked down the stairs at Trump Plaza, the media and everybody's been after him. So it's just been one thing after another, after another, after another.
Because he's a disaster.
One.
Because he's been a disaster. The man was a disaster before he ran for office. I've been saying it. The guy has been an unadulterated shit show for years. Even you said it without saying it. Wait, when he was running, we were talking about how one of your companies had to deal with Trump. You know, you guys were selling the plumbing stuff, and you guys had to jack up prices because you knew he wasn't going to pay everything. That's a shit show.
Yeah, it caused 90-day pay. We moved up the margin to almost a 60%
more. Yes. The guy has been a shit show for years. And the media loved Donald Trump. And Donald Trump loved the media. The ratings were through the roof.
Well, because Donald Trump gave him a show. I mean, you got a fucking narcissist working off the media. You know, I mean, it's like
he did.
On a fire.
Let me tell you something. Nothing would make the media happier than 4 more years of Donald Trump in office. They would love it. The left-wing media especially. They would love it. Because you know what? You had to tune into Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo and Rachel Maddow when Donald Trump was in office. Now who cares? You know, Don Lemon got shuffled off to the morning show. Rachel Maddow just does Mondays. Chris Cuomo's on some... He does. Chris Cuomo's on like some fakakta startup show.
Trump was right when he says you guys would be nothing without me.
He was right.
But Rachel Maddow's on HBC selling blouses and shit now, you know?
Listen, he was right. He was at now. I don't think he's good for the country, but as far as for the media networks, of course he was good. But yeah, it wasn't made up that they were on his ass every day. He deserved it. He's always been a shit show. It is so American that perhaps the worst human being that we all know of, short of killing people, became the president of the United States, and people are addicted to this guy. It is so us. Yes, he's a shit show. He's still a shit show. I just told you how he's a shit show when two of the only black women in America who liked him, and he doesn't even remember that he met him, and he's speaking at the eulogy. And the other guy's shaking hands with people that aren't there. It's a problem. It's a problem.
Well, we'll see what happens. I said it a couple of weeks ago. This conversation this time next year is going to be a lot more intense.
Here's the difference between you and me. At least you and me, what you used to be. I can't predict the future. I have not changed. I will be equal. If they're both still doing the shenanigans, I'll be hard on both them. I am not a cult member. You danced with the devil. I hope in this next run, if Trump is the guy, if he beats out DeSantis, whatever, I hope you hold his feet to the fire with the nonsense the same way we...
I have to have a candidate that I could sell to you and Pip. I have to have a candidate that I could sell to you. And like I said, I will argue and fight with my own brethren. If they, Trump this and Trump that, look, I could sit with Trump people and say harumph all night long. I do agree. I think Trump would do a better job. We could say harumph. I need a candidate that I could sell to you and you, okay? And the one that they're proposing right now is not that person, okay? And like I said, right now, it's fodder in a way. And fodder. This conversation next January is going to be a lot more intense because now it's showtime. We'll see how the year progresses.
All I'm asking for you, and I've seen the jog to normalcy with you the past couple of years, back to the Joe who I remember, who I used to disagree with on policy things. But, you know, I knew your core beliefs. I knew the sanity and the Joe we've been dealing with from 15 to 17. I mean, 15 to 20 and a half. That was a different animal. So I hope we get back old Joe, who has his beliefs as a conservative, but calls bullshit bullshit. I hope that's what we get.
Because what happened was I did want him as president. I voted for him again. I did like his policies. The aftermath where he keeps on shooting himself in the foot. I still believe in his policies, but I need somebody I could sell to you. And you.
Well, how about this? How about forget about selling policies. How about don't try to overthrow the government? That's all we ask. Don't try to overthrow the win or lose. Let's not overthrow the government. Right, left, middle.
We're not going to get into it, but the whole January 6th thing was a witch hunt. It was one-sided. It's basically a sham of the whole thing.
Well, they're all going to jail except for the guy who organized it.
Are they going for jail for insurrection?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Have you said it's insurrection? Was it
treason? Conspiracy? The last couple of ones, the DOJ really went high up, and these are like members of the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys and everything. Yes, the last couple of ones have I think conspiracy for sedition. I want to say that's what they've been convicting them on, conspiracy of sedition, which is pretty bad shit.
Basically what it is that the Democrats want to put people's feet to the fire, and they've been taking these people, jailing them longer than they should be jailed, and making deals with them that say, well, if you don't take this deal, it's going to ruin.
I'm talking about they're getting convicted. I'm not talking about deals.
Because it's a sham. And believe me, our friend from the FBI have been going through it, and it's a whole, and one of our friend comic buddies are going through the whole thing.
Well, yeah, because he was trespassing. You can't break into the Congress.
And that's all he was doing was trespassing. And some
maybe him.
Open the door.
Tell that to the cop who was crushed in the door.
And tell that to the woman that got shot by a cop.
Yes, because she wasn't following orders.
In.
Because she had a gun.
She was not breaking in. She was just there. And they
no.
No.
Have you seen the video?
No, you're wrong. Sorry. Once again.
No. 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 She was breaking in. And okay. So.
You're the one who always says
they had to defend the Congress people.
You're the one who always says you got when the police tell you to do something, you got to do something. They told her to do something. She didn't listen.
Shot through a door, and you know, and the guy wasn't brought up on charges. And it's all one side. And let me ask you a question: when you have something that is so one-sided with no chance for a rebuttal.
What is one-sided?
The hearing.
All right, let me stop you there, and then really, I have to take a break. They wanted to do a commission like the 9/11 commission, which was not going to be political. The Republicans refused. They wanted to do something. They wanted to do something with the Republicans in the House. The Senate didn't want anything to do with it. Senate wanted nothing to do with it, but that was the plan. And then in the House, they wanted to put on people like Jim Jordan, not serious people. So that's what it was. And Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney are as conservative as you get. They've never been a Democrat in their life. But that's why it is what it was. They could have done a nonpartisan, fact-finding 9/11 commission, which is what we deserved as citizens who pay our taxes.
But do you think that sometimes you're accused of something and there is no opportunity for rebuttal is fair?
Well, it's a hearing, Joe. They were invited in. They chose not. They were subpoenaed. They didn't come. What do you want them to do? You can't rebut if you don't show up.
Yeah. It was totally one-sided.
Wait. I've just answered everything you said. I just said they were subpoenaed.
Everything's subpoenaed, but the people that were actually accused, the people of the defense, every statement, there was no chance for rebuttal on that.
What do you think they have attorneys for? They have attorneys. They have them meeting before January 6th across the street planning this stuff. They have the audio of people being armed and planning to take it and possibly come back at night. This isn't made up. It's evidence. I mean, these are our. So listen, you don't believe in the justice system? I don't know what to tell you.
Not in this case, no, I don't.
Well, all right. Well, fine. Well, now you know how black people feel.
I've talked to people that were in the FBI, and it was a sham.
Well, you talk to right-wing people. That's what you talk to. You talk to Kevin Downey Jr., who's a MAGA head moron, who broke in. He shouldn't have been there. You're not supposed to break in.
He was there, and he walked in, and he kicked him out from the photo, and he accused him.
Well, yes, because you weren't supposed to be there. You're not allowed. Listen, I don't know what they're going to. If he didn't destroy anything, then he shouldn't get charged with destroying anything. But if you break in, you break in. You can't do that. Listen, a burglar breaks into your house, you can't just go, "Oh, I was looking around." You're not supposed to be here, stupid.
One-sided.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, Joe. When they don't show up for subpoenas, when they don't want to have a 9/11 truth finding commission, I don't know what to tell you. But they did this so people like you would go, it's one sided, and I guess some people believe it. I don't know what to tell you. And like I said, you can't get more conservative than Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger.
Liz Cheney is a rhino. Stop it.
She's more concerned. She was more concerned
about the way that Trump handled her. You know, spoke about her dad. You know, dad.
She voted with Trump almost every time.
Yeah.
She did. Look at her voting record. You can't get more conservative than her. I'm sorry. I know it doesn't fit the fact pattern that you want, but if we're talking about conservatives and policy, she's as conservative as it gets. She just doesn't like overthrowing the government. And I got to tell you, if Biden loses, and we'll pretend that Biden loses and the left doesn't, I'll have the same stance. You can't do that shit. Lock them up. Lock them up, lock them up, lock them up, like it's Hillary in 2015.
The main thing why the Democrats, they've been fucking us for years, all of them, the Republicans and the Democrats have been fucking us for years, and when people started to join at the Capitol, it scared the shit out of them. They want everything the status quo, and they said, you know what, we got to figure something out where we put people in their place so this doesn't happen again.
All right, but that's fine, but you can't have that position and I'm a law and order person position. I hear what you're saying, but the two of them don't work. Pick one, that's all I'm saying. I don't care which one you pick, doesn't matter to me, but you can't be law and order one minute and you know, listen, they have it coming to them the next minute, because honestly, you're making the same argument a lot of angry black people make when they protest and they riot and go, you haven't heard us for years, now you're scared, there's no justice, it's all fixed against us. That's the same argument. It's the same argument. So either we're law and order and we're a country of laws and you got to behave yourself, or you're not. Pick a side. You can't have both. I'm more of a law and order person where, yes, things are wrong and let's work through it. But you can't be storming the Capitol. You can't be breaking into Rite Aid. You can't do all that shit. That's not good. And they're not the same thing, but they're both bad. All right. Yep. Pip.
I still find that it was a total one-sided. decided which one.
Oh, but I'm waiting for this evidence. So until, and by the way, witch hunt, ugh, so fucking stupid. How insulting to witches who actually did do nothing wrong, and then they were burned at the stake and their cats too. I mean, really, they're dancing in the woods and burn them to the stake. They were fucking hippies before they were hippies. That's what witches were. And now you get morons like witch hunt. It's just because it's two short words. Really, that's why he came out. He doesn't even know what a witch is. He thinks a witch is be fucking witch. He's waiting for Darren to show up. Darren might be his running mate, although I don't know which Darren it's going to be. He'll probably fuck it up and get the wrong Darren. I'm going on record right now that Trump is going to fuck it up and get the wrong Darren as his running mate for 2024. You heard it here first.
That's hysterical.
And me, I'm more of an I Dream of Jeannie guy, but we can't talk to her because she's Middle Eastern. I get it. I get it. All right. Now, Pip, I would love to keep you for this show.
I can't. My couch is calling.
You could do it from the couch.
No, I gotta go to sleep.
No, let her get some sleep.
All right, well.
I'm dying.
Well, we don't want you to die. We want you to feel better, and we appreciate you spending time with us.
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
COVID. Yes, we are glad
oh,
you don't.
Oh, yeah, I know. Me too.
All
right.
All right.
See you later,
see
Pip.
Guys.
All right.
Thank you.
On the break, we got new music from John Koyman with Love Is Everywhere, and you can learn more about John at creativeindreams.com, and also Hide and Seek with Waiting on Heaven's Call. You can learn more about them at khb-music.de. When we come back, should you be able to sacrifice an animal in your home for religious purposes? Is that unborn baby count as a person in HOV lanes? And Jesus Christ is causing problems. Not him, a painting of him. And a painting of and a painting of Muhammad is causing problems.
Oh, you know that numbskull.
I mean, not for nothing. These deities, a little much, guys. Chill out. You could. For the-